The following is a sponsored program. High Desert Broadcasting is not responsible for the views or claims expressed in this program.
Look, we have people in the studio today.
I know. It's a crowded room today.
Woohoo! Hi.
We have Andrea Woods.
She can't hear it. No one can hear her right now. She's like, hi.
No, but I'm introducing her to them.
Yes.
Oh.
We have Andrea Woods.
Not to be confused with Andrea Mills. On It's a Paradox today, this Monday. By the way, I'd like to give a shout out to my sister-in-law. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Frances.
Hi, Fran.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
Although Facebook says she's 41, and I don't think that's accurate.
Do you know, I don't have my correct age on Facebook because they ask all this personal information, and so I lie about my age. And it was just, it's just a dad bit off, but my sister called me on it. She's like, why? Why is your age wrong? And
yeah.
I'm like, because I don't want everybody to know my year of birth and have all that information on me.
I don't know. It's kind of funny because the older I get, the less I care about my age.
So those of you who are trying to steal my private information, my birthday is wrong.
So Vicky, what's a paradox?
A belief contrary to public opinion. That's
a belief or a statement that's contrary to public opinion.
I am really that. I can only think of two docs in the studio.
That's kind of funny.
That's every time I go, a paradox. Well, it's us.
Yeah, it's a paradoxers. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about food.
Oh, it's the food porn show. Yeah. Or I think I just pestoed.
What does that mean?
Well.
Depends.
Think of it in a sexual way. The big O, pesto.
Oh,
she got it.
I wasn't going there, but okay.
Well, it's food porn.
Okay.
You have to go there. Anyway, we're going to do that. But first, I don't have a rant and I don't have a medical story of the day. What we're going to talk about is CNN came out with the truth about 12 health myths. And this is clearly such a fluff piece that has nothing to do with health. It's just them trying to be
on top of
entertaining
things.
So let's talk. We're not going to talk about theirs. We're going to talk about real health myths. And I got that off from Mercola.com. But here's some of the stuff they talk about. If you go out with wet hair, you'll catch a cold. Like,
seriously,
who still believes that?
12 top health myths?
Yeah. And if you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way.
That's one of the top 12 health myths.
Yeah. To get rid of hiccups, have someone startle you. So this is what CNN's putting out there as, you know, a health myth. And there's enough real health myths that are making people very sick that I just think, I mean, there's a couple things in here. You know, for example, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. They're suggesting blueberries is better. So, I mean, that's good information, but still.
That's
still
not a myth.
Hiccups,
an apple a day is better than nothing.
Right. So anyway, this is going to be what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Dr. Mercola, who has Mercola.com. He has his own top 12 health myths that are seriously more important for people because they don't understand.
All right.
So we're going to go over those instead.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm punting, so whatever you tell me, I'm going to just give you feedback.
Okie doke. So, number one, cardio is one of the best types of exercise, and I absolutely agree with this one. And I was, in fact, having a conversation with a patient just a week or two ago about how as much as I know cardio is necessary, I'm just not a fan of it overall because I think too many people put too much stock in just cardio and they don't do flexibility and they don't do strength training.
Right. I agree.
So women tend to do cardio and stretch and ignore strength training, which is important. Men tend to do strength training and maybe cardio and ignore flexibility, but all three of them are important. So cardio alone does not a healthy person make.
Okay. I'm agreeing to that. I will also add that I love my personal trainer because she does shift me around like that.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go, no, you need to do this. No, you need to do that.
Yeah, and a good trainer will take you through and make you do a combination of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, number two, vaccines are safe and effective and prevent disease.
Boo!
Boo! Now, it's funny because somebody very near and dear to me is very upset with me because of my vaccine beliefs. But the reality is this person doesn't have children, hasn't had any friends who have children who've developed autism after getting vaccines, and is really just sort of buying the party line that they're safe and effective. And the reality is by the time a child gets to kindergarten, they have had 48 doses of 14 vaccines. And of those, 36 of them, that's what, three quarters or something, are given during the first 18 months of life. And that's when your child's body and brain is going through this like massive development. So I just don't understand why people do this to their kids when there are alternate vaccine schedules. You can get your child started at the age of two. It's okay to do that.
I'm going to weigh in on not even adult vaccines, the flu vaccines.
Yeah.
No, they're horrible. And people get sick from them.
Yes.
Really, really sick.
And the reality is if you have a very strong immune system and you eat good food, which we're going to talk about today, and you get plenty of sleep and you get good exercise and you manage your stress levels and you take a good multivitamin, you probably don't need them.
You know, Jim and I have never had one, and we get sick less than anybody I know.
I know. We don't get sick very much at all. So, anyway, number two is vaccines.
If I call in a sick day, it's because I want to stay home and play.
I used to work for a major company, and we used to have PTO, which I loved, because you didn't have to lie and say you were sick. You could just call and say, I'm taking a personal day off. So, that was awesome.
I did that with my son. When my son was a freshman, he missed a lot of school because he got, what's that kissing disease?
Mono.
He got mono, and he was out for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so he missed a lot of school that year. So after that, we just said, okay, hey, if you go to school, you can have 6 well days a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go to Disneyland or
something.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, he never got sick after that. But not to say that he didn't really get sick with mono. He was sick.
Right. So myth number three, fluoride in your water lowers the risk of cavities.
Fluoride on your water is poison.
Yeah, and it is. And it's interesting because what people don't understand is even the promoters of fluoride now concede that the major benefits only come from topical applications. Drinking it doesn't actually do much for your teeth. However, drinking it will cause thyroid damage and reduced IQ. So what are we giving to our children when their brains are developing? We're giving them fluoride in the form of water. It's not actually helping their teeth, and it could be lowering their IQ. And we wonder why Gen X is getting stupider.
Well, and finally, they're making children's toothpaste without fluoride.
Exactly.
And you know how many children have been poisoned by eating toothpaste? Because mm-hmm. fluoride is toxic. It's a poison.
Right.
It's actually an ingredient in some rat poison. So
yeah.
Don't give your children fluoride.
Fluoride, not good. I actually have a Facebook friend who had posted fluoride, yes or no, and a bunch of us came back no, and he's like, well, why? And then it was a very interesting discussion. Okay, so
I have a chapter in that book.
Number four. GMOs, for those of you who don't know, GMO stands for genetically modified organism. GMO crops are safe, well-tested, and economically beneficial. That's a myth. Dr. Mercola, I love how he phrases this. GMOs may be the greatest health disaster in the American diet. Within 9 years of their introduction in 1996, multiple chronic illnesses jumped from 7% to 13% of the population. Food allergies doubled in less time than that, and many other ailments have exponentially increased with the introduction of genetically modified foods. Honestly,
that's really creepy.
It is very creepy.
And you know what's funny? Because you name dropped. Can I say it?
I don't know.
The
I wouldn't.
Big company.
And by the way, it turns out it's not that company. It was somebody else.
Okay. Well, no. You named dropped a big company that's really responsible for a lot of high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
And I mentioned that when I was a kid, I detasseled corn, and that was our whole purpose. It was to genetically modify the corn seeds. We would go through those fields, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of us in a crew, pull out the tassels of the corn, and then they would fertilize the corn with whatever corn tassels they wanted it fertilized.
Oh, interesting.
With. So we were helping genetically modify corn.
You are solely responsible for
I know. I feel so awful that I got paid really well as a kid to do that.
Oh, Vicky.
I'll never do it again.
Number five. How are we doing on time? Okay. Number five, the sun causes skin cancer. You know, this one, I have to say I'm on the fence about. I have a few issues. I do think that too much.
I'm going to input. I've been saying for years that sunscreen is the biggest cause of cancer.
And I'm starting to agree with you. However, too much sun is also a bad thing.
Yes.
So I do think you need certain amounts. You certainly need vitamin D. I have a patient right now. Her vitamin D levels are low. We're talking about what to do. And I recommended, I prescribed basically 10 to 15 minutes worth of natural sunlight without sunscreen a day. But too much of a good thing, you know. So I'm sort of on the fence, especially as someone who likes to lay out. You know, I want to have sunscreen on so I don't burn, but I'm a little on the fence on that one.
I like to condition my skin a little bit at a time and then get in the sun. I like be in the sun.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe what we'll do is...
But I do have freckles now.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll finish these up the next show because we do have a pretty busy show today.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
I'm game.
Have you been injured at work or recently in an accident? Want to heal and feel better faster? Now you can through the healing power of acupuncture. Acupuncture is available to you through your workman's compensation or private insurance claim. Acupuncturist Paul Benish has been helping those with back, neck, knee, and shoulder problems for over a decade. He provides his patients with painless acupuncture right here in the AV, as well as Bakersfield and Sherman Oaks. Call acupuncturist Paul Benish at 661-317-7872. That's 661-317-7872 and start healing today.
Have you been an offender bender? Did it dent your bumper? Any accident that hurts your car hurts your spine, and you should get your spine checked before you get your car checked. If you have headaches, neck pain, or back pain after a minor fender bender, come see me. I'm Dr. Andrea Mills with Allied Chiropractic, and I've helped thousands of people heal fast after minor accidents. Call me at 945-4441 to get your spine checked. Your spine and your body are more important than your car. Relief is just a call away. That number again is 945-4441. Call me today.
Hi, this is Dr. Vicki Thomas of Rev It Up Hypnosis. If you're sick and tired of being overweight, listen to this.
Hi, my name is Candace Richter. I lost 55 pounds of painful fat with hypnosis. I tried diets and other programs, but hypnosis was the ultimate answer to my weight loss goals.
My name is Chad Heidecker, and I've lost 24 pounds, and it's really been working great.
I'm Anita Brahm. I have lost 25 pounds at least. I'm fitting into clothes that I haven't fit into for 9 years.
We are committed to your success.
Hi, my name is Willie. I went to see Dr. Thomas. I was 40 pounds overweight, and I lost 20 pounds within 3 months. I had a back injury, and I could not exercise, so Dr. Thomas really helped me out.
We're committed to helping you make it happen. These people and many others have benefited from hypnosis. Call 661-209-2632. That's 661-209-2632. We help you make it happen.
Results may vary.
Let me find my microphone.
So, by the way, Andrea, who's in the studio, and you can't hear her. If you ever you want to chime in, you just got to grab that microphone over there. You got to push our wonderful board operator out of the way and just get in. But feel free to chime in as we're going through. So we're going to start talking about food, non-genetically modified food.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sort of organic, although... Organic is the first best choice, right?
Yes. Well, I think the question I get the most from people is, A, how do you do it? How do you cook meals with as busy as you are? And then, B, like, why is it so important to you to do it? And those... I love those long silences on radio.
You can't
hear my brain wheels turning, and so it just sounds really quiet on your end.
I could see them, yeah.
You could see them. Vicki, no one else can see them. Vicki can see, like, the brains turn. Anyway, how do you do it, and why do you do it?
I get, because, you know, I mostly work with my weight loss clients, and I tell them how I want them to eat. Like, I'm really bossy about how I want them to eat to begin with.
Right.
Because I want them to really quit eating fast food and junk and boxed crap and all the crap in food. And clean out the high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, get rid of all that stuff.
And so usually about the third or fourth week I'll get, do you really eat like this all the time?
I know, I get that too. Do you really cook like that? Yeah, I really do.
I really do. And I can't imagine not.
Well, like, why would you not?
I don't know. See, that's my question. Why wouldn't I? Why would I go back to buying like a box? I see a friend of mine had have you tried those box chicken dinners? And I swear I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, you know, it's a box chicken. And I'm thinking, like, when church used to make a box chicken dinner and sell it? I'm like, Kentucky Fried Chicken? I don't know.
It's different, though, depending on where you are in the country. Like, we were just discussing about the difference between California and where I am right now in South Dakota. And the availability of food is so less there.
Describe the salad bar again for us.
Yeah, because I do think in California we take that for granted. I mean, I'm used to having anything organic that I want available to me with less than a 5-mile drive.
Well, and there's also just, there's no excuse in California not to eat well because it's so easy.
Thank you very much because
it's
so
easy
to do. Talk about the salad bar.
Yeah. Well, I was so excited they had a salad bar at this great, you know, this wonderful restaurant. It's a Brazilian carnival, and it's this fabulous meat. But they have this big, huge salad bar, and I was all excited. This is my first month in Sioux Falls. And I walk in, and I grab my plate, and I'm looking, and the salad bar literally consisted of about 12 different types of macaroni salad, potato salad, other, I don't even know what it was, kind of salad. And all of them had big hunks of cheese and like tons of mayonnaise. And
was there a green item on it?
There, on the other side, I discovered there were some green items, you know, iceberg lettuce. There was no mixed, more, you know, fabulous romaine or anything like we get here in California.
Got like three kinds of
right.
mixed lettuces.
I mean, even in California now in the salad bars, you got three different colors of tomatoes.
Exactly.
Thank you. I mean,
yes.
People in South Dakota are like, wow, there's colored tomatoes?
It's funny because I'll buy heirloom tomatoes, and one of the tomatoes I love the most is a green zebra.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks not
ripe.
Right. But when you slice into it, it's like green striped, and it is delicious. And one night I served dinner, and I served like those little yellow pear tomatoes, and our friends were like, where'd you get yellow tomatoes? And I said, Trader Joe's, like right down the street. But I love the different color, and they've got those beautiful purple ones.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yummy. Yummy.
And you and I do the Abundant Harvest Organics.
Right.
And they've been giving us those little pear tomatoes.
Oh, yes, they have.
They are just, they melt. I have those on my, you know how people have a bowl of candy on their
Mm-hmm.
I have those little tomatoes on my coffee table.
My kids eat those as snacks, and they just pop them. Even when we go out to dinner, I'll order them like a little bowl of cherry tomatoes instead of bread or whatever. I mean, they'll have some bread too, but it's, I mean, it's funny because we were talking about those tomatoes we got in the box. I had a ton of tomatoes on my counter yesterday. My husband says, honey, if we don't use them, we're going to lose them. So what we did is we tossed them in a little olive oil, a little bit of sea salt and pepper. We threw them in the oven. We roasted them. And then I turned them into a tomato bisque soup because I had just made chicken stock on, I don't know, Friday night or whatever. And it was absolutely amazing.
Nummy.
Yeah.
Well, here's my example.
So, yeah, it really is easy to eat healthy.
Here's my example. Jim gets up this morning. Jim is off today. Hopefully he's listening. Hi, Jim. And I said, you must be hungry because he skipped dinner last night because we went out for Mexican early in the afternoon. And
yum.
Yeah, it was good. But he goes, well, what's for breakfast? And I open the refrigerator. I go, here's your choices. You've got butternut squash soup, and we can put some.
I have some of that in my
crumbled
fridge right
bacon
now too.
On the top. The next layer was a cabbage salad. The next layer was cooked mixed vegetables with cabbage, peppers, onions, carrots, all chopped fine and cooked together. And the next was leftover Mexican. The next were the fruit and vegetable bins.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll have the banana squash soup for breakfast. Yeah. I'm like, good boy.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is like a lot of people think breakfast has to be breakfast foods. I mean, breakfast a lot of times for me is a quesadilla or something savory.
I had the cooked grilled vegetables for breakfast. It just like hit the spot.
Sweet potatoes. That was the best thing.
I'm not crazy about sweet potatoes.
I'll eat those,
They keep you till lunch, no problem. Yeah. I mean, they're amazing.
And their nutritional value is incredible.
Yeah, no, I recommend them to patients, even though I personally don't like them. But they are really good for you.
You do not like them like real nuts?
No, I had an issue. I was a kid and I was young and I had the flu and I was fed sweet potatoes and it was just a bad experience and I've never. Could probably help me get over it.
I was going to say, sounds like you need a good hypnotist there.
I've never been able to get over it. Vicky could probably get me over it, but I've never really been able to. Same thing with watermelon. I don't like watermelon for the exact same reason.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like, it's funny because there are foods that I'll eat that no one else would touch. And like watermelon and sweet potatoes, I'm like, you know, a little sign of the cross. Get away from me.
So for me, it's really easy to eat that way.
Right. And I guess what I don't understand is how much harder is it to make soup on your day off, like on Saturday, and then have it throughout the week, versus going and buying canned soup that is super crazy in sodium, has to have preservatives in it. You know, it's been heated so much. Anything that was alive in it has now, I mean, all the enzymes, the natural enzymes that are in food have been completely demolished.
Well, I think the total time to make the squash soup, I mean, literally I cut it in half, scraped out the seeds and stuck it in the oven. Like, my total input of time was less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Seriously.
Now, I probably need to try that because usually what I do is I'll peel the butternut squash, cut it in half, scrape out the seeds, and then I dice it. I start my soup with onion, whatever kind of onion I have in the house. Lately, it's been red onions and garlic. And then I'll also chop up some carrots. And then I add curry powder to the onion and garlic.
Yeah.
And I heat up the curry powder.
Okay,
then
so
I add,
your squash soup was probably better than mine.
Then I add the carrots and I add the squash. And then I add the stock. And then, like this time, I actually happened to have some potatoes too. So I threw a couple of those in. And then I add arborio rice. Because arborio rice, once it's cooked and you puree it, it makes the soup creamy without using cream.
Oh, nice.
And so you cook it until it's all done. So 30 to 45 minutes. And then I just take a stick blender and I blend the crap out of it until it's really smooth. And then I season it and I serve it.
That's what I did. I baked it.
How hard is that?
I baked it, did a little sea salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Brush it with olive oil. So it has that baked squash flavor.
Yeah, so it's probably really sweet.
Yeah.
See, mine's not as sweet because of the curry powder.
You can either add nutmeg.
Yeah.
Or cinnamon.
And in the fall, if I make it, I've got beautiful apples. I'll put apples in there and make butternut squash and apple soup. But soup is so easy to make, and it's so good for you.
See, I'm really fortunate because I love fruits and vegetables. Jim will eat anything. I've always said if I opened a can of beans and stuck a spoon in it, he would eat it. He'd be like, oh, honey, you cooked me the best meal. But you know what?
Since
our show on the crap in your food, he has been reading labels.
Good for him. And yeah, my husband reads labels now, too.
Yeah, he'll come in and say, look at this. It has that high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it's so funny because what Dominic will do is, like, if I send him shopping and he's in a store that does not necessarily, I mean, we know everything at Trader Joe's is safe. Mm-hmm. But if he's in a store that we know that everything is not safe, he'll literally take pictures of the label and he'll send it to me. And I'll be like, is this okay? But he's gotten really good at reading the labels himself. And I'll say, oh, my God, there's MSG in this one, high fructose corn syrup in that one, all these preservatives and stuff. And he's gotten much better about it.
You know what I was surprised with? I got out the Mrs. Dash.
Uh-huh.
And it was... It's
MSG?
MSG.
No, MSG, but good. It has corn sugar solids.
Oh, interesting.
I know, and I went, corn sugar solids.
Genetically modified corn, I'm sure.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But, yeah. I mean, everything else in there is like onions and celery salt, all good stuff. So
yeah.
I'm letting him use up the bottle. And then we mostly make our own seasonings. This is weird because we make our own seasonings.
Oh, see, I don't do that.
Well, our organics box has been coming with so many fresh seasonings that we can't use them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I dry them and then, like we have dried oregano, we have...
Do you know what I made last night?
I'm
speaking of our organic box. So it was so funny because my husband didn't realize what I was using. He didn't realize the whole story. We had gotten stevia leaves in our box several weeks ago. Mm. And so I dried it.
Yummy.
And I've been thinking I need to make like a syrup or a sweetener or something out of it because I've tried the stevia leaves just plain in my coffee and that doesn't do it. So last night I Googled how to make a stevia liquid and so I did. You basically steep it like a tea for, 15 or 20 minutes and then cool it and chill it. So I did that. I said to my husband, and he didn't realize that it was stevia on the counter. He thought it was like basil or something. And remember last week we had done that thing about the witches? So I said to him, he says, what happened to all the dried herbs? I said, I'm making a stevia liquid out of it. He says, honey, if you could make stevia out of that, you really are a witch. And I said, no, it is stevia. He's like, what do you mean it is stevia? I said, it is like the stevia leaves. He's like, I thought it was basil.
Good thing you didn't put it in spaghetti.
Yeah, so it was really funny. And then my daughter says, what is that? My little one. She's 5. And I said, here, open your mouth. So I put a stevia leaf in her mouth. And she went, yummy. And then stevia raw has just a little bit of a bitter afterbite. And then she's like, back, 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 back. So it's really cute.
But still.
Yeah.
Better.
So I made that.
Yeah.
And I put it in my coffee this morning.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you made like one of those... simple syrup,
no, I
vodka,
didn't.
Lemon things.
No, I didn't do that. Not last night.
Oh, wait, what an idea.
Exactly.
Now I can see the wheels turning.
Stevia martinis.
Why not? Woo. If you can make simple syrup and then do
Yeah, absolutely.
Never mind.
With organic vodka, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's made from potatoes, right?
I think we have to go on a break. Organic vodka? I'm sure they do. Well, Weedery probably carries it.
We're not going to stop talking. We're going to just keep going, and Ernie's going to
He's just
going to
turn it up and turn it up and turn it up. And kind of say bye.
Are you stressed? Is it causing headaches, affecting your sleep, making you feel lousy? How long will you suffer before you do something different? I'm Dr. Andrea Mills with Allied Chiropractic, and I used to be stressed and have headaches too. My headaches were so bad, I'd lie in the dark and cry, begging for some relief. I learned how to get rid of my headaches and have not had one in 7 years. Call me at 945-4441 if you'd like to get rid of your headaches and stress-related aches and pains too. Relief is just a phone call away. That number again is 945-4441. Call me today.
News Talk 1380. CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. An independent group of economists has declared the recession officially over. The National Bureau of Economic Research says it ended last June. Moody's economist Mark Zandi worries a second recession could be triggered if the Bush tax cuts are allowed to expire.
Fortunately, I think Congress and the administration understand this and will extend most, if not all, of the tax cuts, at least for 2011.
Americans looking for temporary work are expected to find more of it in the upcoming holiday season. A prominent outplacement firm predicts retailers will hire up to 600,000 temps. Hurricane Igor moved into the Atlantic Monday after slamming Bermuda. Power is out in a lot of places, but no major damage is reported. Paris Hilton won't go to jail for cocaine possession if she keeps her nose clean for the next year. She pleaded guilty in Las Vegas to two misdemeanors. The judge gave her 1 year of probation and ordered outpatient drug treatment. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Vicki Thomas of Rev It Up Hypnosis. If you're sick and tired of being overweight, listen to this.
Hi, my name is Candace Richter. I lost 55 pounds of painful fat with hypnosis. I tried diets and other programs, but hypnosis was the ultimate answer to my weight loss goals.
My name is Chad Heidecker, and I've lost 24 pounds, and it's really been working great.
I'm Anita Brahm. I have lost 25 pounds at least. I'm fitting into clothes that I haven't fit into for 9 years.
We are committed to your success.
Hi, my name is Willie. I went to see Dr. Thomas. I was 40 pounds overweight, and I lost 20 pounds within 3 months. I had a back injury, and I could not exercise, so Dr. Thomas really helped me out.
We're committed to helping you make it happen. These people and many others have benefited from hypnosis. Call 661-209-2632. That's 661-209-2632. We help you make it happen.
Results may vary.
Most people agree that network marketing is an excellent vehicle to achieving financial freedom. But if you are only retaining 6 to 7% of your people, you won't get very far. Hi, this is Debbie Callis. Seriously, I had a major headache from banging my head against the wall over how to help the people in my organization achieve the success that I was enjoying. Unfortunately, I, along with most network marketers, have been taught that we are in a sales and recruiting business. But with 90% of the population being sales resistant, how can the average person truly find success? The truth is, network marketing is a teaching and mentoring business, and you need a proven, duplicatable system that will work for the masses. My life and business turned around when I came across the free ebook, Success in 10 Steps, by Michael DeLohi. And now I'd like to share this free ebook with you as well. Visit my website at my10steps.com. That's my, the number 10, steps.com. No products or companies are ever mentioned. It's just the straight scoop on the industry. So put that bottle of aspirin away and get started with some great information that will get you on your way to truly owning your life.
That's our cue.
You mean we have to stop chatting and actually be on the radio?
I know. We're talking about snow, of all things.
I don't want snow.
So Vicki and I were talking over the break, because what a lot of people don't understand is if you want to cook this way, you cannot get off work at 5, go to the market, grab what you need, go home and cook this way and have dinner done in 20 minutes. It doesn't work that way. You have to be prepared in advance. So we want to talk a little bit about prep.
Staples.
And staples, prep. Pantry staples, so that, I mean, our freezers are stocked. And usually the night before that morning, I figure out what I want, and I defrost it while I'm gone.
You know, if I have to go to the store, it's to get meat. Because I have the right vegetables and stuff.
Right, that's the way we are too. If we have to go to the store, it's usually for something weird. Or you're like, my sister-in-law will buy bread. Yeah. My sister-in-law will buy
bread.
Is so weird. My sister-in-law will buy bread because we don't really keep a lot of bread in the house. Well, we keep some frozen. Like,
okay, let's
bread.
Talk about
let's
bread.
Talk about bread.
Because you go to the store, you pick up that loaf of bread, and it's what, like $3 now?
Yeah.
And you look at the label, and it's got like 40 some odd ingredients of ucky stuff.
Yeah, enriched niacin and
psychological
wheat flour, whatever.
Goal word.
I made Cuban bread last Tuesday, and here's what I. First of all, Cuban bread is one of my favorite all time breads because it's super easy to make and it's very fast. It's a relatively fast rising bread because it does have sugar in it. So, flour, water, salt, yeast, sugar. That's it. That's all that's in it. And what I have learned is, as long as I know that I'm going to be baking bread that day, if I want to slow it down, I put it in the fridge so it rises slower. If I want to speed it up, I put it in the oven with the oven light on so it goes a little bit faster. But your flavor develops the longer it takes to rise. So in the winter, for example, I might actually warm my oven up a little bit before I put the dough in it. But really, once you make the dough, and I have a KitchenAid, so my KitchenAid does all the work for me. Once you make the dough, you don't touch it again until you throw it in the oven. I mean, it's like you punch it down, you maybe shape the loaf, and then that's it. It's really easy to do. It's just time consuming. But you could leave the house. It's not like you have to be there.
I did the same thing, and it's the same five ingredients, except I used whole wheat and rye flour.
Right.
Like a combo of whole wheat and rye instead of white flour. And it was called hearth bread, not Cuban bread. And so it had kind of a richer flavor.
Uh-huh.
And like literally sat it in the sunshine. Like I have a table, kitchen table that sits in the sun, set it in the sunshine, and it rose like way too fast.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, come back. You know, punching it down going, oh my goodness, that's too big for the pan now.
If I want to, if I'm making an Italian bread or a French bread, something like that, I'll put it in the fridge and have it do a long rise overnight, like over 12 hours. And it really develops a lot of flavor that way. So you can absolutely make bread work into your lifestyle. You just have to know how to make the dough do what you want it to do. Warm places make it speed up. Cold places make it slow down. So once you know that, making bread is easy.
And I throw all the ingredients in the bread maker, and I do take it out and bake it in the oven, though. I let that bread maker mix it.
See, I let my KitchenAid do it because I don't
she's wanting
think
to speak
I know
here.
I don't think the bread maker mixes as well.
I'm on the other side of the bread here because I remember attempting to make bread 10 years ago and it was disastrous. I mean, one of the things I've learned since then is yeast.
Yeah, your yeast has to be good.
Making sure that it's good yeast and it's fresh and all that kind of. And I think that was part of my problem.
Well, I store yeast in the fridge so that it lasts longer.
Mm-hmm. And do you get like the jar of.
You know what I do is I buy one of those big bags of yeast at Costco, and that sucker will last me 5 years. I'm not kidding. But as long as I keep it in the fridge.
Oh, see, I buy mine as like a
as
few
you
when
it.
I go to the store.
Yeah, and I just keep it in the house all the time. I never
do
know.
Do the cakes of yeast then, or the it's the
powder. No? I do the granulated
and
yeast,
and it still works after years.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I keep it in an airtight container in the fridge.
Oh.
And if it's been a year since I've made bread, I'll proof it first. As long as it proofs, I'm good. But I've never had that yeast go bad.
Proof? What does that mean?
Okay, proofing yeast is when you put it with some water in a little cup with just a little bit of sugar, mm-hmm. and you wait 10 or 15 minutes. As long as it bubbles, and you know the yeast is still good.
It's still alive.
Yeah.
It's still alive.
So.
Yeah, I buy fresh yeast regularly.
Oh, yeah, and I just keep it in the house. Yeah, by
I
the
think
big
I'm with
Costco.
Vicky, though. The only success I've had is one of those bread makers.
But I found that the bread maker mixes that you buy are so full of junk, it's not worth it.
Oh, yeah. That's
so I had to get a cookbook that had bread making stuff in it.
I didn't think my bread maker did a good enough job actually making the dough. So I just make it in my KitchenAid with the dough hook. And then I will finish off the last kneed on. I've got a marble slab that I use for baking. I'll finish it off on there. But I had a college
roommate. That's already too much work for me.
See, I had a college roommate who taught me how to make bread. And he really showed me how to, you know, understand what the dough is supposed to feel like and all that stuff. So I learned it a long time ago.
I used to make it with my grandma when I was just a little girl.
Yeah.
And she'd make those, like, dinner roll buns. Those are amazing.
Yeah, my kids
I wish
love,
I had her recipe.
They're like, when I made Cuban bread last week, my oldest daughter says, Mommy, I can taste the dough in the bread. That just made me laugh because the dough is the bread. But, you know, it's like she loves to taste the dough.
What about
yeasty
flavor?
Yeasty flavor.
What about gluten-free for those of us that don't
okay.
do gluten very
gluten-free
well.
Is it because I have a gluten intolerance where if my immune system is depressed at all, I have to go completely off of it. As long as my immune system's good, I can have it.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice most of my, like for sandwiches, I use Ezekiel, which is a sprouted bread, and the gluten is not as big of an issue.
Right.
But if I'm having any sort of gluten issues, I don't eat bread. Gluten-free is much more difficult. I've made gluten-free bread once, and it was a disaster. Now, I've made gluten-free cookies, and what I've learned there is sometimes you have to take the dough and freeze it before you bake it, and it's also a low-fat baking trick because it helps it hold its shape longer so it can set poofier than it would otherwise. So like on cookies, for example, gluten-free cookies, I find they spread out and they get thin. Mm. However,
okay, here's what I'm going to say. For most of my clients, this is getting too deep. They wouldn't go this far into making gluten-free cookies.
Yeah, probably not. Most people wouldn't. I agree.
So we're just unique in that.
Okay.
But making regular bread is really, really easy.
Yeah, the way you're describing it, I'm kind of like, want to go home and try it.
It's really easy.
My bread, 5 ingredients.
Yeah.
Their bread, 35 ingredients.
Exactly.
Some of which you don't want in your
Some of my bread, 3 ingredients. And one of them's water.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
Whole wheat flour, yeast, water.
Never tried that one. Is that like, you know what I want from you is your pizza dough recipe.
Okay. Really good. My pizza dough recipe is flour, olive oil, salt, yeast, and water.
See,
and that's
easy.
It's easy.
So,
all right, so let's talk about staples. You have to have lean meats in the house. We keep ours frozen. If you're going to buy fish and you want to keep fish in advance, you really need to buy the individually quick frozen ones.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just, I mean, fresh fish doesn't last that long. If you know you're going to eat it in the next day or two, you could buy it and then have it. But otherwise, buy the individually quick frozen, and they're in little packages, individually sealed.
Yes. I'm right with you. That's what I always buy.
The staples, the grains.
Love salmon that way.
The grains that I personally use the most are going to be quinoa, brown rice, and for me, rice pasta. The rest of my family likes regular pasta, but I try not to make it that often because other people in my house will make it more often. Like my husband, if he's going to cook, he'll usually make pasta. So I try not to make pasta on my nights.
I don't make a lot of pasta just because I would have to be home dinner time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can make it for lunch. I can't eat pasta at dinner myself.
Is it too heavy?
It gives me indigestion.
Yeah.
Which is probably a gluten thing.
It might be.
And so I just don't. But why does it sound like it's raining in here?
I don't know. It does kind of sound like it's raining in here. The other thing that I do is if I'm gonna grill a protein, I'll just take balsamic vinegar and I'll put that on top. And the balsamic vinegar seasons it. And it tenderizes it a little bit. It works on everything. It works on chicken, pork, beef. I haven't tried it on fish. But it works on all those proteins. And it's really yummy. You just let it sit for 10 or 15 minutes before you grill it. Slather a little olive oil on there. Pop it on the grill.
Yum.
Saute up some vegetables. Make a salad. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Ta-da.
It really is easy.
I know. I told you all the things that I had. I baked the squash. While the squash was baking, I chopped cabbage, which made a cabbage salad, a good cabbage salad. First I chopped the potato and onion, put that in to fry, because that wouldn't go in my cabbage salad, except half the onion went in the cabbage salad. Then I chopped the green peppers. So I'm chopping while that's cooking, and out of that I made a soup, a salad, a chopped salad, chopped cooked vegetables. So we had quite an assortment, and that it was like 3 days of food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I did in less than half an hour of actual time.
Well, last Sunday, we were at Gelson's in the Valley. I picked up a turkey. I threw it in the oven. So I had a turkey Sunday night. So that turkey got turned into sandwiches one day during the week. Then I made turkey stock out of the carcass. And then we took the rest of the turkey meat and turned it into like a turkey salad, you know, like chicken salad, turkey salad that the kids had on their sandwiches today. I've got some of it for my lunch today. But then that stock made two huge pots of soup. I've got tomato soup in my fridge right now, and I've got butternut squash soup in my fridge right now, all organic. And that's an easy lunch.
You know,
you talk about
the turkey and the carcass.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have friends that we have Thanksgiving with every year. And I swear all of those people are throwing that carcass. Like, they're bagging it up to throw it in the trash.
Throw it away.
Like, are you kidding? That's my soup tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
So I'm taking that now. Had Thanksgiving with Jim's family once, and I swear people were fighting over the carcass to take home for soup.
Good for them.
Like, talk about different societies and different choices.
Yeah, my mom taught me she really taught me to just use it all, you know,
I grew up on a farm in Iowa. We did use it all.
Yeah.
Jim laughs because, like, if you get a vegetable that's, I don't know, icky on one end, you cut it off. You throw that out and you keep the good end.
Finish the rest of it.
Finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I don't waste a lot. And
what's your favorite recipe?
I don't think I have a favorite.
I don't think I do either. I have a couple. I've got this portobello mushroom ragu that I love that I serve over like a brown rice penne. Really good. It's portobello mushrooms with fresh rosemary, balsamic vinegar, onions, and diced tomatoes. You simmer that down into a really rich sauce. And I usually add a little red wine to it. And the balsamic and the red wine make this really thick, rich sauce. And, of course, the rosemary is really good. You just serve that over brown rice pasta. Yum. Mm.
I don't know. One time I took one of those eggplants. And I guess being from the Midwest, didn't know what to do with one. So peeled it, chopped it really finely, and cooked it. Then chopped a whole bunch of mushrooms and onions and cooked it all together with garlic and such. It was amazing. I swear, that was pretty good. I don't know. I have a different favorite every day.
Yeah, me too. When we come back, I'll talk about eggplant and pesto. Oh, pesto we want to talk about.
Pesto?
All right, we'll be back. Okay.
Have you been in a fender bender? Did it dent your bumper? Any accident that hurts your car hurts your spine, and you should get your spine checked before you get your car checked. If you have headaches, neck pain, or back pain after a minor fender bender, come see me. I'm Dr. Andrea Mills with Allied Chiropractic, and I've helped thousands of people heal fast after minor accidents. Call me at 945-4441 to get your spine checked. Your spine and your body are more important than your car. Relief is just a call away. That number again is 945-4441. Call me today.
This is Monica Miles reporting live from the Ladies First Fitness and Spa in Lancaster. I just got done taking a tour of the place, and let me tell you, it is absolutely gorgeous. 10,000 square feet of state-of-the-art equipment to help you achieve your personal goals. They offer tanning, facials, massages, waxing, teeth whitening, and so much more. Oh, there's a member now. Excuse me, miss. Miss?
Yes?
What is it that you like most about Ladies First?
Well, the name pretty much says it all. I love the fact that it's designed specifically for women, and they have so much to offer with this new larger location. I personally love their yoga and spinning classes. And of course, everything else they offer. It's like a one-stop shop for taking care of my health. Not to mention, my daughter loves going to their kids' club.
You heard it here first. Ladies First Fitness and Spa is a one-stop shop for taking care of your health. And if you bring in your current contract from any gym in the AV, Ladies First will match it without having to sign another contract. Just swing by their new location on 10th Street West and Avenue M. Or give them a call at 942-6496. That's 942-6496. Ladies First. Have you been injured at work or recently in an accident? Want to heal and feel better faster? Now you can through the healing power of acupuncture. Acupuncture is available to you through your workman's compensation or private insurance claim. Acupuncturist Paul Benish has been helping those with back, neck, knee, and shoulder problems for over a decade. He provides his patients with painless acupuncture right here in the AV, as well as Bakersfield and Sherman Oaks. Call acupuncturist Paul Benish at 661-317-7872. That's 661-317-7872 and start healing today.
Hi, this is Dr. Vicki Thomas of Rev It Up Hypnosis. If you're sick and tired of being overweight, listen to this.
Hi, my name is Candace Richter. I lost 55 pounds of painful fat with hypnosis. I tried diets and other programs, but hypnosis was the ultimate answer to my weight loss goals.
My name is Chad Heidecker, and I've lost 24 pounds, and it's really been working great.
I'm Anita Brahm. I have lost 25 pounds at least. I'm fitting into clothes that I haven't fit into for 9 years.
We are committed to your success.
Hi, my name is Willie. I went to see Dr. Thomas. I was 40 pounds overweight, and I lost 20 pounds within 3 months. I had a back injury, and I could not exercise, so Dr. Thomas really helped me out.
We're committed to helping you make it happen. These people and many others have benefited from hypnosis. Call 661-209-2632. That's 661-209-2632. We help you make it happen.
Results may vary.
Okay, while we were on the break, Andrea had a great tip of advice that I want to hear again, so go for it.
Well, we were talking about planning and prep, and so much of eating well is about planning and
yes,
prep.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was talking to some of my clients about. Again, we're in South Dakota. It's hard to get food. They're not used to eating well. So I'm trying to find ways to help. You know, I'm looking into my life and finding ways that I've made it easy to eat this way over time. And one of the ways is when you go shopping, to leave like 30 to 60 minutes after the shopping time when you get home, so that you have time before the food goes even into the refrigerator, that you prep it. Like if you want to have celery sticks as a quick snack throughout the week, you take that time to get them into bags or containers or something, that so that they're there and available.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, because we get that box of organic fruits and vegetables, that's what I do
every Saturday. We have to sort of get it all together and prep it.
Yeah. So. I wouldn't just stick those in the refrigerator without washing them and bagging them. And
I bag them, but I don't wash them until I'm ready to use them.
Oh, I do. Because I know Jim would serve them without washing them.
Once you cut stuff, though, a great tip that I learned a few years ago is putting a piece of paper towel in the container. It soaks up the moisture so that they don't rot.
So they don't get all mildewy. Yeah, I do that, too. I put a little paper towel in the bag.
Yep.
To kind of absorb all that stuff up.
And for us, it seems so easy. So what are we missing that people think it's not easy?
I guess I don't know. And I wish I had sort of prepped in advance and had people send me questions as to why it's not easy. Because for me, it is so. But again, my mindset is it is important for me to eat this way. It is important for my kids to eat this way. And therefore, I make it a priority. And I think that is a lot of it. You have to have your mindset correct. And once your mindset is correct, I don't view my time in the kitchen as another chore. I view my time in the kitchen as, first of all, it's me time. A lot of times my daughters want to help me, so I get to spend great quality time with them. And I know that it is one of the single biggest things I can do for my family to show them my love is to prepare wonderful, delicious food that I know is good for them.
Okay.
You must really love us today because you made all – I mean, it's sort of a joke, but he knows that for me – making food is love.
Yeah, my husband knows that too. If I'm cooking for him, he knows, and I'm putting dinner on the table, he knows that it's because I care.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to throw us off a little bit because that brought up a thought. Because I know you've got the new website about raising healthy
www.naturallyhealthykids.com. And there are dashes in between the words. So it's naturally-healthy-kids.com. And
so my question.
It hasn't been indexed yet. You can find it if you type it in. But if you go to Google, it's not there yet. It'll be there in the next week or two.
Okay. Well, my comment was one of my favorite people in the world, of course, has a baby. And he's eating those. I'm not saying her name. Because I love her so much. And has a toddler.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to see the toddler. I want to say it was Gerber's.
Oh.
And flipped it over and looked at the label.
Yeah.
And people, if you are feeding yourself this processed, feeding your kids this processed baby food, oh my goodness, like cook some carrots.
And it's so easy to bake a potato, throw a potato in the microwave until it's soft, mash it up with a little bit of butter and maybe a little bit of water so it's like baby consistency and feed them that.
Or maybe mashed peas or
mashed bananas.
Overcook your green beans and mash them. Like, I used to
do avocado. I used to mash up avocado and give it to my daughters with scrambled egg.
And I was, so I never tasted avocado until I came out here. But so my kids didn't either.
Yeah.
But my kids, and I wasn't like nutritionally brilliant at this point in time when I had kids. I just knew I didn't want to open jars and feed them. I wanted to feed them what we were eating. So they really ate what we ate.
Yeah. I used to make scrambled eggs.
From very baby age.
Yeah. I used to make scrambled eggs for my daughters when they were little.
Oh, yeah.
I would take butternut squash and I would steam it. And then I'd mash it up with some butter and a little bit of sea salt. No pepper. And then if I was feeling generous, I'd throw a little brown sugar in there to make it a little, that sort of sweet and salty.
Well, think carrot. All the baby food, carrots, blueberries, peas. Green beans, just cook it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have an answer to the question of how to make it easy. Good. Because as I'm training people in the Midwest to eat better, they get very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So yes. I tell them it's just one day at a time.
Exactly.
Think about women, you know, how many years did it take you to figure out how to do your hair and your makeup? And you just learn things over time.
I'm still learning.
Well, I know, me too. But you get better and better at it. You find better products. You find better, easier ways to do things.
Yeah.
And it's the same with food. You just start in one place. You know, I'll tell them, take one new recipe a week or every 2 weeks, whatever is easy
for you. Well, and then that's the other thing, too, is learn a couple of techniques that can be that can do multiple things. For example, making a pan sauce is really not that difficult. But if you make a pan sauce and serve it over a steak, all of a sudden it's this fancy dinner. Whereas if you just grill the steak and throw a potato down, it's they're two totally separate things. But making a pan sauce is easy.
Yeah.
But people don't understand how easy it is. So they get freaked out because, oh, you made this fantastic, you know, cognac brandy sauce. And it's like, well, it's not really that hard. You just throw a little brandy in there, add a little stock, and add a little butter at the very end and serve it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell my clients, I tell them, go to the grocery store in the fruits and vegetables department. Just stand there and what looks good. Pick three or four that look good.
And, you know, you don't have
start
to change.
There.
You don't have to change everything about the way you eat all at once either.
Right.
You
right.
can do it in steps. Instead of buying pot roast that's in a bag or a box that's already been seasoned, right? Learn how to season a cut of meat well and learn how to slow roast it. Then once you've mastered that skill, then learn how to saute vegetables and cook them so that they're done but not overdone. Then once you've mastered that skill, learn how to marinate for flavor. Once you've mastered that skill, learn how to make a sauce. You learn how to do fish. But do it at you don't have to do it all at once.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing. You know,
because honestly, 10 years ago, when I started really cooking, I was good, but I wasn't great. I'm a pretty darn good cook now.
I came from the Midwest where I cooked meat and potatoes. That was it.
Yeah. Right.
But I do that well.
Like, yeah.
I can cook seasoned meat well. But coming here and adding the vegetables is amazing
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
We used to grow a lot of our own, though.
Yeah, and I haven't done a garden the last 2 years, but, well, honestly, since I got Abundant Harvest, I don't have to do a garden like I used to because I got great food. But I usually have a garden as well.
I cannot do a garden on the hill.
I bet. It's probably just too windy.
Everything
here burns.
Like, I don't care if I hide it in the shade of my house. It still gets burnt.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, you mean burnt from the sun?
Yeah.
I thought you meant burnt from the fires.
Well, no, we don't have fires that come that close. But.
Actually, it was kind of funny because I was looking on my patio. I haven't really been outside much the last few weeks. And I was looking at my patio and my basil's dead and my rosemary's dying. I thought, oh, I forgot to send the kids out to water the plants. So I'm kind of bummed. But, you know, usually this time of year, everything just starts to go anyway.
Jim is really good at watering. Uh-huh. So I don't have to worry about that. But I just can't keep anything from my fine.
Yeah, see, I'm bad about watering because you have to get out there morning and night. And morning, I'm usually rushing, so I forgot.
And being eaten by rabbits.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them there.
We have raccoons. We've got this grape arbor, and as these grapes come up, and we've got a trellis like by our dining room, and so the grapes hang down, and in the middle of the night, you'll hear them jump up there and walk around, and you hear this on the patio. It's just hysterical. So then we open them up, and there's their little round eyes, and they're eating all of our food. We're like, yo, get off of there.
They can be not very nice.
You know what?
I mean, they're usually nice, but they can
I've never had an issue with them. I mean, I know they cannot be nice, but I've never had an issue. There was one night I was sitting out on the patio reading a book, and I hear this noise. I turn over, and there's a raccoon, like, from me to the door. And he's just looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he scoops his paw. He's looking at me. He scoops his paw into my cat's food, scoops it up, and he's looking at me the whole time, and he sticks it in his mouth, and he eats it. And I'm just like, okay, now I know where the cat food is going. So, anyway, it looks like we have 2 minutes left.
I think one.
One minute left. What do we got coming up soon? I think we're doing a what is hypnosis? Mm-hmm. Myths about hypnosis. What hypnosis can help? Is that next week?
I know all of those answers.
I know you do. Is that next week?
I don't know. I'm going to be gone next week, so we have to record it.
Ah, shh. Don't tell our secrets.
Okay.
All right. So next week we'll bring you what is hypnosis.
I didn't know it was a secret.
What else is going on?
October, I'm still billing that October seminar, which is just awesome. We've got 14 master trainers of hypnosis and NLP together.
I'm going.
Are you?
I bet you are.
Yep.
Very cool.
It's unbelievable.
I did a kinesio taping seminar at the House of Golf on Saturday, and very interesting. I mean, there was only a few people there. But it's interesting how many people have so many musculoskeletal problems that it's just kind of fun. Like, everyone there had something wrong.
Okay, I'm cutting you off because Ernie cut us off with music. We
got to
go.
Sounds like it's time to go. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on It's a Paradox.
Bye.
Bye. In the dark, I like to read his mind.
The following was a sponsored program. Hydezer Broadcasting is not responsible for the views or claims expressed in the previous